Hello and welcome back to Journey of the Monkey King. I'm Quiva and I am joined by my friend MJ.
What up?
It's been a while. We took a bit of a break for the end of the year and we are in 2021 now.
Welcome to the future.
Yes.
Past. It's obviously past when, you know. Yeah.
when you will be listening to this, it will be after we have recorded it. This is how time works.
You should never ever take a break ever, ever, because your brain will stop working and get out of work mode. So the only thing that you can possibly do is continually work yourself to the bone without ever resting.
Don't actually do that, please.
Please don't. Please don't.
So for this episode, I just kind of felt like doing a quick recap of maybe not the entire story, but where we're at in the story and who all the characters are, etc. We're kind of been away for a month or so.
Yep, that's it. That's a very good idea because my I need it. I don't know if the listeners need it, but I certainly do.
But before that, I want to bring up something else. My friend Holly, who is a Buddhist, sent me on some notes about something from the last episode.
Okay, cool.
So we mentioned the concept of a Dharma vessel, and I didn't really know what that meant, other than it was kind of serving as the basis for a pun where they were using this kind of magic boat that they called a Dharma vessel. So Holly sent me on a bit of explanation of that. So first of all, like a proper explanation of what Dharma means, because I never really did that either. So it means different things to different religions and spaces. It's a term used in Hinduism as well, but in Buddhism, it means a couple of overlapping ideas, one of which is the teachings of Buddha. The essence of the universe that connects everything and basically is everything. The experience of, for lack of a better way of putting it, examining and reflecting on that essence, usually through meditation. The laws of cosmology, including the cycle of death and rebirth. And probably some other stuff depending on your sect of Buddhism. So that's
okay, cool.
That was the notes Holly gave me. And then a Dharma vessel is a term. All humans are Dharma vessels. All people are Dharma vessels. And a Dharma vessel is a thing that can learn, internalize, and experience the Dharma.
Okay.
So that was Holly's notes on teaching Quiva basic Buddhist concepts to help understand this book. So thank you, Holly.
Yeah, thanks very much. That's very helpful.
So for recapping, I thought we could kind of go through every character, all the main characters at least, in reverse order of when we met them. Leave Wukong for last, because he'll kind of take up all the oxygen otherwise, I think.
Also, he's a memorable bastard.
Yeah, we'll probably remember him fairly well compared to everyone else. So in the last chapter that we did, chapter 22, we met the final member of the pilgrimage, who's Xia Wujing. So Xia Wujing means roughly sand awakened to purity. He's also called Xia He Shang, or sand monk. And some translations have called him Sandy, not in the version with Anthony Yu, but it's a nice nickname.
It's quite cute.
And throughout, like, the poems, which I'm mostly skipping over, but I'll introduce these terms here, I guess. Throughout all the poems, the characters are also given these various nicknames and ways they're referred to that are kind of based on like Chinese alchemy and medicine. So he's called Earth Mother, Yellow Dame, Spatula, and Two Earths.
That's quite cool that they're given names based on medicine, because it's very much a redemption story for most of them. Even though a lot of them are based, or let's be fair, most of them are being strong-armed into it. So I'm not if, sure if through the lens we're used to redemption arcs, that's not sure if that's a regular thing, but yeah, no, it's kind of cool. They're all being quote unquote given a chance. It's a very it's that or be tortured forever in a lot of cases, but they're being given a chance to redeem themselves and use the pilgrimage as a sort of purification process or a way of making amends with the gods. So that's quite interesting. That's kind of cool.
And there's a bunch of footnotes and sections of the introduction that I will admit I don't fully understand at all, where Anthony Yu's kind of relates how the different nicknames and then ways they're referred to relate to the terms that are used are part of are related to like bodily functions and like the way of purifying the body and these kind of things. So
Interesting.
the name Yellow Dame is one of the terms, which is apparently meant to be a secretion of the spleen. That's
Bile, basically.
yeah, it's black bile pretty much. If you want to get out your like map out your big cross-cultural red string diagrams of ancient medical traditions. But it's like and yeah, it's associated with the element of earth, which Xiaowujing is associated with as well. Spatula is also it's Anthony Yu's translation of a word that is like everything else I'm going to pronounce wrong, but Dao Guai, which is a historical medical instrument to measure out like chemical or herbal dosages.
Interesting.
And the two earths is a like a play on that name as well, that ties it back to the earth theming more. So the Dao character from Dao Gui means knife, and Gui means jade tipped. But the character for Gui resembles two of the characters for earth or soil stacked on top of each other. So he writes in like one poem, he refers to Xiaowujing as like two of the earth characters next to each other instead of stacked on top of each other to make the normal like Gui character, which he also refers to him as. There's a lot of stuff in these poems that just is completely untranslatable, which is one of several reasons I'm not really reading any of them.
I don't know why it gives me such pleasure to imagine Anthony Yu crying over that stuff. That's probably something about myself I should examine, but it does. It does.
Just tearing his hair out, like should I write it as two earths, or should I write it just write it as earth, or how or what?
I very much enjoy it when he just gives up and goes it, because from what you're saying, it's a very decent and thorough translation. So I kind of love it when he just gives up and goes, it's whatever, it's untranslatable. Learn, learn, fuck.
He does normally like try and explain all the cross-cultural references. The it is I think only one time in the book where he flatly just says this is a load of puns and doesn't even attempt to explain any of them. I think it's pretty sure he only does that once.
That was the fight with the Yellow Wind King, if I recall. Is that correct?
It was a poem about the what was it, the Dew to Fall cave or something like that,
Something
something
along
something
those
that was
lines.
nonsense in English anyway. And Xiaowujing was the he had the title of curtain raising captain in heaven, and he got banished after dropping and shattering a jade cup during the Festival of Immortal Peaches.
Don't go to the Festival of Immortal Peaches. I cannot emphasize that enough. Nothing good ever happens there. It's like staying at a New Year's party after 3 a.m. You don't want to do it. It's never going to be, well, you especially don't want to like be anywhere near it right now, but like in general, outside of plagues, just don't go to the peach thing. Just
Yeah.
avoid it. Stay home. Fake a migraine if you have to. Just yeah, it never ends well.
The show that BBC dubbed that they called Monkey added an extra detail to that when he shattered the cup, a drop of the heavenly wine fell to earth and somehow ended up getting drank by Genghis Khan, which is
Oh.
how he took over, third of the world.
Okay, that's a much more exilable offense.
But
I think that's
yeah, that's not in the original
yeah.
novel. I like to kind of think of him as the straight man of the group. We haven't seen much of him yet, but that's being probably a bit generous on my part. He mostly just kind of gets overshadowed by everyone else. And he spends a lot of time just kind of chilling in the background looking after the horse.
He's the
So
long-suffering housemate. He's the one who just sighs at everything and just wants to, you know what? There's not much I can do about these fucking lunatics, but I can look after the horse. I can make sure the horse is fed and just, yeah.
In terms of appearance, he's a huge guy. He has indigo skin, big fiery red hair, and when they first met him, he had a necklace of nine skulls around his neck. But that's gone now. You turn that into a magic boat. He doesn't have skulls anymore.
Yeah, it's an upgrade.
I think the skulls would be cool.
I don't know. You know what happens with like when you lose your baby skulls and turns into a boat and you grow as a character? Well-worn trope, right? Yeah.
And his weapon of choice is a priest staff, that's called the Fiend Routing Staff.
Ooh.
It's made from a tree from the moon, cut down by Wu Gang and fashioned into a staff by Lu Ban. And he claims that it can change size like the Monkey King's rod can, but I don't remember that ever actually happening. It's been a while since I read this originally. Maybe he does do that later on. We'll find out.
Debatable. Woo!
Ooh.
Mystery.
So it's a Buddhist priest staff or a Kakara. So at the top there's like a hub, like a circular hub with metal rings looped through it. And in the description, in this case, the hub is made of solid gold, and the staff is decorated with countless pearly threads, so it's all very fancy.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big summary of everything going on with Wu Jing. And the second most junior member of the pilgrimage is Baji. So yeah, Zhu Baji, which is Eight Rules Pig, or Zhu Wu Neng, which is Awakened Power Pig. Also, Tian Peng Yuan Shui, surely butchering that. But anyway, the Marshal of the Heavenly Reeds, and also known as Idiot.
Fair.
Called Pigsy in some other translations, and then alchemical term that they refer to him as Wood Mother, and in one poem Wood Dragon.
Interesting. And what does that do?
Wood Mother is apparently a term for Mercury, the metal.
Okay.
And Anthony Yu notes in the introduction that true Mercury is supposed to have been formed from the horary character of Hai, for which the symbolical animal is a boar or pig. So there's just some cultural, so there's just some kind of link there to link back Mercury and a pig, and like a pig's, and also the element of wood. So
Okay.
there's just all these kind of there's all these kind of like cultural connections in these names that are, go over my head. But I want to acknowledge that they're there.
Okay.
She was banished for trying to rape Chang'e, the goddess of the moon, at the beach festival.
I can't really blame the Peach Festival for that bullshit fuckery.
It's not great. Anyway, he is a pig, and he fights with a nine-pronged rake, made by Laozi, for which Mars operated the furnace to forge it. It has brass rings inlaid with gold leaves and decked with five stars and six brightnesses, whatever that means, and is etched with inscriptions of the eight trigrams, etc., etc. It's very, very defecated. It's very, very decorated with symbols of magical significance, basically. Very fancy rake.
Still.
And he knows the 36 transformations of the Heavenly Ladle. So he knows half as many transformations as Sun Wukong does.
Okay.
And he's generally kind of the gluttonous and I guess leery character of the group.
Not a fan, gotta
Yeah.
say.
Reasonable. Reasonable. Next, we have the horse, who is unnamed, but he is the son of Auron, the Dragon King of the Western Ocean. And he's referred to as the Horse of the Will, it's sometimes in poetry, which is, we went through that a little before. It's like a Buddhist term that's contrasted with the Monkey of the Mind.
Interesting.
Where I think it was like the monkey is kind of the more like unconstrained creativity, and the horse is more conscious, will that needs discipline to control the monkey. I'm butchering Buddhist philosophy. I'm so sorry to anyone who actually knows anything.
Sorry, Holly.
Sorry, Holly. He accidentally set his dad's palace on fire and destroyed some special pearls, and he was nearly executed for that, which seems a bit harsh. But Guanyin stepped in and took custody of him instead and sent him on this pilgrimage, and he ate the original horse, and now he is the horse. And
You are what you eat.
he is basically just a horse. Like, he doesn't talk or anything. He's a horse now.
You know what? He has his job, he does it.
Yeah.
I like to think he could talk if he wanted to.
Probably.
Maybe that's why name of the last guy, which I have already forgotten, never take a rest.
Vagie.
No, the one before Rape Pig.
Xia Wu Jing.
Xiaowu Zhang. Maybe that's why Xiaowu Zhang the horse hang out so much. It's just like the horse could talk if
Oh,
he
he but
wanted
he
to,
only
but he's
talk
just
he only
kind of like,
talks to he only talks to Xia Wu Jing.
yeah, I think like they seem to, maybe they're on the same wavelength of
Yeah,
like, I just don't want to deal with this shit, you know? I just want to get to the West and just get the books and like, you know, maybe they're buds is what I'm trying to say. I would like to think of it that way.
that's a nice headcanon.
Yep.
So then we have Trippy Taka, Tang San Zhang, Tang Seng, the Gold Cicada, River Float, Chen Xuanzang, Grand Expositor of the Faith, Supreme Vicar of Priests, the Great Expositor Priest, and the Tang Monk. Everyone has so many titles.
And Blackboard Monitor.
And Blackboard Monitor. So important to remember, first of all, for this character, is he's an actual person who really existed, which I will not never stop finding funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's enjoyable.
And all of our pilgrims have been banished to Earth and made to go on the pilgrimage for various slights against the gods, but Tripitaka's is my favorite, which is that in his previous life as the Gold Cicada, he was one of Buddha's students and he fell asleep during one of Buddha's lectures.
In the future, Eamon Ryan, leader of the Irish Green Party, will be making a pilgrimage west to Vancouver to recover seven prestigious articles on how to stop global warming. That is my prediction. If you would like to lay a bet on it, you are welcome to. But take my word for it. This is a prophecy, which I'm in no way qualified to make. But I don't know where I was going
You're
with
not
this.
a licensed tarot specs.
I am not. I'm afraid that this joke got away from me. Never take a rest. Anyway.
I'm glad you found like a second piece of advice to shout into the microphone.
I'm sorry, you have to edit this. I apologize. But yeah, no, don't go to the Peach Festival. Never take a rest. I feel like I should have a third one to round things out.
We'll figure it out.
Follow your
Follow
dreams.
your dreams.
Yeah.
And
Especially if you have prophetic ones about Eamon Ryan.
Tripitaka was Moses down a river as a baby due to someone murdering his dad and stealing his dad's identity, but his dad got better later on, so it was fine. And
He got better. I do love your use of the word Moses as a verb.
And later Emperor Tang Taizong died, and then also got better, and he made Tripitaka like his bond brother and sent him off to pilgrimage stuff.
Yeah, I
So
mean
that's
he earned those titles in various ways.
His hobbies include poetry, prayer, sweeping pagodas, and falling off his horse.
Yep. Sorry, I just find it incredibly funny every time that happens.
And then before we get on to the Monkey King, I think we should also remember Guan Yin.
Yeah, you
And
don't fuck with her.
or Guan Xi. And I have some notes about Guan Yin's history, actually, that I was researching, and by researching I mean reading Wikipedia articles. So Guan Xi Yin is he who perceives the world's lamentations, and is a translation of a name of the Buddhist god Avalokiteshvara, which is he who looks down upon sound, or the more modern form is Avalokiteshvara, which is Lord who looks down, I think, roughly. So the history there is slightly interesting because Guanyin has evolved into a fairly different figure in Chinese Buddhism compared to other Buddhist traditions. The most obvious one being that Avalokiteshvara is generally a man,
Interesting.
and Guanyin is almost, I think maybe exclusively or almost exclusively like portrayed as a woman or a female god, at least. Goddess, that's a word.
It is indeed.
So I think that's just interesting. We can we
Suppose.
at you know at how disrespectful of religion is it for us to like start saying she's trans? Probably fairly, maybe we shouldn't.
I don't know. I'm on board with that. I am 100% on board with that. You do not fuck up Guan Yin's pronouns, by the way. You don't. You do not misgen. Just don't piss her off in general.
But yeah, Guanyin is the mastermind behind everything, basically. Pretty much, she's arranges everything for the pilgrimage. Almost everything turns out to be like either she knows about it already or she has secretly arranged it.
Don't misgender anyone. Particularly do not misgender Guanyin
Yeah.
or upset Guanyin, or when Guanyin tells you to do something, you say yes, ma'am. She is a scary, scary, scary lady. That's my third piece of advice. There we go.
Fair enough. And then, of course, we have Sun Wukong, the heaven-born stone monkey, the handsome monkey king, the Ban Horse Plague, the great sage equal to heaven, Pilgrim Sun, the mind monkey, or the metal squire. And Sun Wukong, of course, being monkey awakened to the void. He is a 4 foot tall monkey in a tiger skin skirt, and he will murder you.
He's got that ego. He's got that ego going on.
Yeah.
He will murder you, but you may want to complain to his manager and see what happens. His manager being Guanyin.
Or Tripitaka, because Tripitaka also has the fucking torture spell.
I feel like if you've listened to this podcast, you remember the antics of Sun Wukong.
Yeah, I feel like we probably don't need to go through all the quadruple immortality and everything again.
The Sun Wukong bit where he just goes
Yeah.
down and speak to yeah. I want to speak to the manager of death.
I love this book.
Yeah, it's great.
So we have the four pilgrims plus the horse on the road now, heading to India to try and meet Buddha.
Woo! Yay.
So I don't know, is there anything else you wanted to bring up or remind people of before we continue on to chapter 23?
No,
Okay,
is
cool.
the simple answer. Not that I can think of. I'm very grateful for the recap. I'm very much looking forward to getting on to the rest of the show.
Okay, so enjoy chapter 23 next. Thank you.
Yay, thank
And
you.
oh yeah, well we might as well do social media links for. We I think we haven't done them properly in a long time, so after having a break, we might as well. So the podcast's Twitter is Monkey King Pod. My Twitter account is Oakreef, OakReef. MJ's is Taoiseach O' Trash.
Yep, it's pronounced Taoiseach.
Which I can't be arsed to spell out, but I'll have a link to in the show
Yeah,
notes.
we'll put it in the show notes. The Prime Minister of England is the British Taoiseach.
Yes.
Put it that way. I am
We are
also.
so enthusiastic about doing this every time. We are so good at self-promotion.
I'm so. I hate Quiver. No,
You
I
hate
have a.
Quiver. Oh no.
No, I love Quiver. Quiver's the best. I actually have it in my bullet journal now to do social media posts, and I can't pretend I enjoy it. They're all cesspits demanding your attention with algorithms specifically designed to ruin your life. But you should be on there and follow me because I am entertaining.
I meant to like post on the Twitter account for this podcast over the holidays a bit, and I just wasn't arsed.
My Instagram, by the way, is MJ Stokes, EMJAY Stokes. So,
Cool.
yep.
please, please enjoy our unenthusiastic social media presence.
Yay.
Next episode. I forgot to write down the title of it. Chapter 23. Bye.
Bye.